Yeah, appreciate so much how much you sung out. Our numbers are low, but it sounds like we're all here the way you're singing out this morning, and I appreciate that so very much. Yesterday, as it was snowing and kept snowing and snowing, and I thought, well, we're not going to be meeting on Sunday. And as we thought about it, we were thinking, well, let's just give that decision to the members, and there may be some who are able to get out rather than saying we're not going to be meeting today. And so that's what we did, and I am sure glad we did that because we have a good number here considering the conditions, and I appreciate you having the interest in coming out. Not saying the others don't, they're just not able to make it, but you have chosen to come out when you could have easily stated, I want to stay at home today. But you've come out to worship the Lord, and I want you to know that is an encouragement to me. I want to make a few statements about happiness this morning. We're going to talk about God's way of happiness. I do want to mention there was a plan to do some corrective disciplinary action today. Since we don't really have the church as a whole coming together, we do have those who are able to be here. We've postponed that and are going to do that at a later date. For those of you who may be thinking of that or having questions about that. You know, we all want to be happy. We strive for happiness. But there is God's way to be happy. You know, as we go through difficulties in life, sometimes we're really looking for ways for us to be happy. But the only way that we can truly be happy in this life is to do it God's way. And I want to talk about this morning. First of all, I want to emphasize that happiness is not determined by our circumstances and by what we have. If we are seeking happiness based on what we have and our circumstances in life and trying to obtain those circumstances so that I can be happy, then I will not be happy. I will not find it. And also, happiness is achieved when we stop pursuing it as our goal in life. This is a byproduct of pursuing something else. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning. If we're truly going to be happy in life, it's going to be because we pursued God and we pursued pleasing Him in life. So let's talk about God's way for happiness. Who are truly happy? Well, there are two words. There's the Hebrew word, asher, which is translated blessedness or blessed or happiness in the Old Testament scriptures. W. Vine, in his dictionary, says basically this word connotes the state of prosperity or happiness that comes when a superior bestows his favor or blessing on one. In most passages, the one bestowing favor is God Himself. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. And so the ones who are happy are the ones who receive God's blessings. And then there is the Greek word makarios, translated blessed or happy. Well, those who trust in the Lord and keep His commandments are those who are truly happy. This is God's way for happiness. And what we're going to do is look at some passages where these two words are found and see what the Lord says about how we can be truly blessed or happy. In Proverbs 16, verse 20, he who keeps the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. There's our word. Blessed or happy is the one who heeds the word wisely, and whoever trusts in the Lord. And then Psalm 40 and verse 4, blessed or happy is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 112 and verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Also in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. He is glad that there is those instructions of the Lord to help him to know how to live his life. Happy is the one who keeps those instructions. Matthew 5 in the New Testament, Jesus gives the Beatitudes. The word blessed here comes from that Greek word makarios, means blessed, happy, or fortunate. Who are the poor in spirit? Are those who are mourned? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, who are these? Well, these are the ones who recognize their spiritual poverty. They recognize their need for God's forgiveness. They're poor in spirit. They mourn over their sins. The mourning here is not because of a loss of material things or the loss of a loved one even. It's because of what they have done and how that's affected their relationship with God. And they are meek. These are the ones who then humbly submit to God. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, His forgiveness, so that they can be right, they can be just before Him. And these are the truly blessed or happy people, are the ones who sought God, who wants to be right with God, who wants to be forgiven of those sins that separate them from God. They put their trust in God, that God will forgive them. And they know that God leads in the ways that are right. And so they show their trust in the Lord by keeping His commandments and doing what is right. That's it. That's what it takes if we're going to be truly happy and blessed. Luke 8 and verse 11 says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so those who trust in the Lord and keep His commandments, if we'll strive to make that the priority in our life, then happiness is going to come as a byproduct. But also, those who are happy are those whose sins are forgiven. In Romans chapter 4, and Paul here quotes a Psalm of David, says, "Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works." Now, righteousness, keep in mind here, is being right before God. The only way that we can be right, we who are sinners, is by being forgiven of our sins and then practicing righteousness. But I must be forgiven. If I from now on never commit another sin, I'm still not righteous if I'm not forgiven of the sins I've already committed. There has to be forgiveness if I'm going to be righteous. And he says here, he speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. In other words, we cannot earn our righteousness, our forgiveness. And so he quotes from David, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account." We've all sinned. But when I go to God in prayer as a Christian with a penitent heart and I ask God to forgive me of those sins, I am confident that God forgives me, that my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that brings great joy. You know, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You know, when I know I am in right relationship with God because He's forgiven me of all my sins, then that brings great joy and happiness. When sins are forgiven, when we obey from the heart. The question we need to ask ourselves is, have we been forgiven? In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." Notice they were slaves of sin, and they became free from sin and slaves of righteousness. What brought about the change? Well, they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which they were delivered. And so when they obeyed the gospel, they were buried with Christ in baptism with that penitent believing heart. Then their sins were forgiven. They were free from their sins and they became the slaves of righteousness. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, the Hebrew writer says, "Though he," that is Jesus, "was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation," notice, "to all who obey him." Jesus has provided salvation, but it's only to those who obey him who will be saved. In Acts 2, you remember the Jews on the day of Pentecost heard the preaching of Peter, and they were convinced that this Jesus whom they had crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ, and they wanted to know what to do. Verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Are they happy? No, they're not happy. I mean, they are filled with guilt. No doubt remorse. Fear. They understood what it meant to be under, to be in sin, to be separated from God. They understood the wrath of God. They knew about those stories of fire coming down and consuming Nadab and Abihu, and also the earth opening up and swallowing Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families. Are they happy? No, they're not happy. But Peter tells them what they then need to do. It says, Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they did that, then they were forgiven of their sins, and there was joy. There was rejoicing. Verse 41 says, and those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. For the alien sinner, we're to hear, believe, repent, confess our faith, and be baptized. And then for those, the Christian who has committed sin, he's called upon to repent, confess his sins, and pray for God for forgiveness. As Simon was told to do in Acts 8, verse 22, when he committed the sin that he wanted to purchase the gift of God, that power that on whomever he laid his hands, they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter told him to repent of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And also in 1 John 1 and verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be forgiven. We can have the assurance. Notice the word faithful there. He is faithful and just, meaning that you can count on God. He always fulfills His promises. When you go to God in prayer with that penitent heart, confessing your sins and ask Him to forgive you, then you can be assured that God forgives. Okay, another way or thing we must do if we're going to be happy is that we need not to violate our conscience. Those who do not violate their conscience are happy. Look again in Romans 14, verse 22 and 23. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy, and there's our word Makarios, is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Have you ever done what you know is wrong? We all have. And when we do that, we don't feel good about that. There's guilt, and that's a good thing. We never want to get to the point where we were like those that Paul talks about in writing to Timothy, that their conscience was seared as with a hot iron. You sear the hide of a cow, and what it does, it deadens the nerves of that cowhide, of the side of that cow, and those nerves are deadened. And that's the idea of searing the conscience, is you deaden the conscience. It's no longer sensitive. It's no longer going to work for you. And you never want to get to that point. When you feel bad, you're not happy, that's a good thing, because what that then leads you to do is then to never do that again, to repent, seek God's forgiveness, and then not violate your conscience. And you know, when you don't live according to your conscience, then there's guilt, there's not happiness. But when you do what you know is right, then there is happiness. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You know, as we live the life of a Christian, there are going to be those who will slander us. There will be those who will try to malign us in whatever way that they can to make us look bad. And maybe even in the eyes of the community, we are looking bad because of the lies and the slander. But we know we're right. I know I've done what is right. And when I have that good conscience, that when they defame me as evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. There comes a time they will be ashamed. And the light will be revealed as to who we really are. But when I know I'm right and I have a good conscience, I can still be happy. I can still rejoice in the Lord. James 1 verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed," notice that, "will be blessed in what he does." Do what you know is right. But also, who will be happy? Well, those who give to the needy, those who are generous with their money. Remember what Jesus said, and here Paul quotes this, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." He's speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." The one who's truly happy is the one who's generous. The one whose emphasis in life is not obtaining pleasure as a result of obtaining things. And when we begin to think that our happiness is determined by my possessions and what I have and enjoying this life and the things of this life, then I'm going to eventually learn that doesn't really bring true happiness. But when I'm willing to share these things are not what bring me happiness. But I'm going to serve the Lord, and serving the Lord means I'm going to serve others, and I'm willing to give to others, and I'm willing to share with what I have to others, then I will learn what Jesus means here. More blessed to give than to receive. I then come to understand that's where true happiness is. Psalm 41 verse 1 says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Proverbs 14:21, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." But also, who are happy? Those who are ready when the Lord comes. And that could be today. We don't know when it will be. And I'll suggest say to you, those who are not prepared, those who are not ready, are not happy. The ones who are truly happy are the ones who know that whenever the Lord comes, I'm ready to go to be with Him. Luke 12, verse 35 to 46. Look at verses 37. What Jesus says here: "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching." So here's the servant. He doesn't know when his master is going to come. And if he is not ready and he's not being a faithful steward, then he is going to receive the punishment from his master. But who is the one who's happy? That whenever the master comes, I'm ready. "Blessed are those whose servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." And the master then will reward that servant. Look at verse 43. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has." That's the faithful steward, the faithful servant. So these are those who are truly happy. Those who trust in the Lord and keep His commandments. Those whose sins are forgiven. Those who do not violate their conscience. Those who give to the needy. Those who are ready when the Lord comes. Question is, are you happy? Are you considered as blessed? And if not, you need to look into your life and say, okay, where is that? What's missing here? And I suggest it's probably one of these things right here that's missing. And so if you truly want to be happy, apply this. Work on it. And that's not to say that there's not going to be times of where we get down and there's sorrow, there's tears. Jesus wept. Jesus had sorrow at times. We're not talking about moments of that. We're talking about really in the midst of those times of sorrow, that we know that there's something for which we can rejoice. And that's the reason Paul could say in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And there is a reason why we can always rejoice. And that's because of the things we've talked about this morning. But if you're not happy, you can be, but you need to come to the Lord. You need to obey Him. And if you'll do that this morning, if you need to do that this morning, we encourage you to do that. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, repent. Pray God for forgiveness with that penitent heart. God will forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.